ไมตรียวาจา
ไมตรียวาจา
สัมบาวัมนิสัญญัยวัง
สัมบาวัมนิสัญญัยวัง
สัตตุวิจาสมาธิ
สัตตุวิจาสมาธิ
ยัมโมวาจาสุตราย
ัมโมวาจาสุตรา
วิรานามาสกิน
นาวิรานามาสกินนา
Great sage Maitreya said, Svasambhavam, the source of his appearance, Nishamya, by seeing, Evam, thus, Tapaha, penance, Vidya, knowledge.
Samadhi,
as also by concentration of the mind. Yava, as far as possible. Manha, mind. Vachaha, words. Sutva, having prayed.
Vīrāma
became silent. Saha,
he.
Brahma,
Kinva,
and is silent. Translation. The sage Maitreya says, O Vidura, after observing the source of his appearance, namely, the personality of Godhead,Brahma prayed for his mercy as far as his mind and words would permit him. Thus having prayed, he became silent, as if tired from his activities of penance, knowledge, and mental concentration. Purport. Brahma's enlightenment in knowledge was due to the Lord sitting within his heart. After being created, Brahma could not ascertain the source of his appearance, but after penance and mental concentration,He could see the source of his birth, and thus he became enlightened. Through his heart, the spiritual master outside and the spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representations, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. Lord Brahma had no opportunity to take the help of a spiritual master from outside, because at that time Brahma himself was the only creature in the universe. Therefore, on becoming satisfied by the prayers of Brahma, the Lord enlightened him about everything from within.
Om Yamati Narasya Yanam Chakya Chakshurum Nikam Yena
everything in one day. So Lord Brahma was being enlightened from within the heart through the super soul revealing to him transcendental knowledge. Tene Brahma Vidaya Adhikari Yatya Suryaha. And Lord Brahma became perfect in that realization. He first of all followed the instructions of the Lord. The Lord was not merely fully revealing himself to Brahma, but rather the Lord gave Brahma indications as what to do. Lord Brahma, in this way, was directed by the Supreme Lord, who acted as the spiritual master. And Lord Brahma, upon receiving the instruction of the Lord, Tapa, performed austerity. And upon performing that austerity, after he had duly satisfied the Lord, then the Lord revealed himself also from within, Antaryami Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he says, the spiritual master outside and the spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representations, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. So the spiritual master is described to be the external manifestation of the super soul. And there is no difference between the spiritual master and the super soul. The spiritual master is dedicated to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the injunctions of the scriptures. He is always bathing in transcendental sound. It is the Sapta Parishtam, Sanisnatam. Sanisnatam. Snatam means bathing in transcendental sound vibration. So the spiritual master is constantly hearing and constantly glorifying the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he is thoroughly purified. He is constantly serving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he becomes the instrument of the Supreme Lord. Tesam sattva yuktanam tadamani bhuti yogam tam. If one is always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord, vajitam prittipurvakam, constantly worshipping the Supreme Lord, then the Lord will reveal from within the tadamani bhuti yogam tam. In this way, the spiritual master becomes the instrument of the Supreme Lord. Now, whether he is consciously in contact with the Supreme Lord or unconsciously with the Supreme Lord, that depends on the individual case. Just like yesterday, we happened to be discussing the famous verse where Lord Shiva is speaking, and he's saying, Aham veti sukha veti vyas veti na veti va. I know, Sukadev knows, and Vyas, he may know or he may not know. So this is a bewildering verse, because how is it that Vyasadev would not know the import of all Vedic literatures? And he's the very writer, the very author of the Vedic literatures. And why wouldn't Vyas know the meaning of the Vedic literatures? But that is not necessarily required. Vyasadeva was the perfect instrument of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord was from within, through his heart, revealing transcendental knowledge to him. And Vyas was simply recording as the Lord was dictating. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada was also seen relishing his own books. He was seated reading his books and relishing, and one devotee commented, "Oh Prabhupada, you are really relishing your own books." Prabhupada said, "These are not my books. I didn't write these books. Krishna wrote these books. He simply dictated them to me and I just wrote it down. That is all. But actually Krishna is the writer." So in the same way, Vyasadeva might also have been merely instructed from within, without understanding the full import of actually what he was writing. We discussed yesterday how Lord Shiva himself, he tried to enter the Rasa dance in Vrindavan, took bath in a kund, and transformed himself in the form of a gopi. But it is said that even while he was having that particular form, he still had the snake around his neck. So it was a giveaway. Anyhow, Lord Krishna saw straight away, "Oh, Lord Shiva, how nice that you have come to be here in the Rasa Dance. This is very convenient because I was just looking for someone because many intruders are trying to enter this Rasa Dance. So you are the perfect person to stand guard." And in this way, Lord Shiva got that service of Gopeshwar Mahadev and is standing guard. So it said, but still, he got a glimpse. He was able to watch from nearby. So Lord Shiva knew. Sukadeva Goswami, it is said, was none other than the parent of Radharani. Therefore, he also knew. But Vyasadeva, he may or may not know. Because it is not necessarily the case that one who is under the dictates of the super soul is consciously aware of whatever the super soul is revealing. He may or he may not be. But still, he is the instrument in the hands of the Lord, knowingly or unknowingly. Of course, there is a description of how one journalist once asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, "I have heard that the pure devotee is always acting upon the desire of Krishna. How does he know the pure desire of Krishna?" So Rameshwar was also there, and he replied to the question. He said, "Well, the pure devotee knows because Krishna dictates from within the heart." Srila Prabhupada said, "No, not like that. If I don't know what Krishna wants, I just ask him." And he tells me. So Srila Prabhupada indeed had that capacity to directly communicate with Krishna whenever he so desired. And Krishna was directly communicating with him. There are many descriptions of many great realized Vaishnavas who had direct discussions with the Supreme Lord. We know that Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji would constantly be in discussion with the Lord, all day long, argue with him, and have all big discussions with his deities, with his Gopal and everything. And there were, it was clear that he was also hearing Gopal, not just speaking to Gopal. So sometimes the Vaishnavas are very directly communicating with the Supreme Lord. But other Vaishnavas may be used as an instrument of the Lord, according to the wish of the Lord, and simply they are acting without knowing why, but still the Lord acts through them. They ask Srila Prabhupada, can a pure devotee be omniscient? Prabhupada says, yes, he can be, if Krishna wants him to be. So there is no limit to the extent that a devotee can become empowered by the desire of Krishna. Of course, when the devotee purchases Krishna by his devotional service, then such reciprocation comes. It is not automatically. It is not that Krishna is regularly speaking with my grandmother. He comes every night, we hear him going up the staircase, we hear the ankle bells, and then we roll over in bed. No, not like that. If Krishna goes up the staircase and we hear the ankle bells, then that would be a very big ecstatic event, and one would not just go back to sleep. And grandmother would also not just be ordinary granny anymore if Krishna would come and visit her. The darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not cheap. It is naturally the most amazing experience, which is touching the hearts of the devotees very deeply. We find some descriptions, though, of some cases where people did not recognize Krishna, and where Krishna appeared to apparently common people. That famous story of the old lady with the branches on her head, walking around, it was too heavy, she put it down, and oh, how could she lift it again? She needed help, there was no one around. And she just desperately prayed to Krishna, who came, and said, yes, what can I do for you? Oh, please help me to put these branches on my head. She was too engrossed in her material consciousness to properly appreciate the Supreme Lord and to understand that the reality of seeing Krishna was much more important than that material duty that she had fixed in her mind, or that material necessity. So she was so fixed in her material work that she could not be open to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one can only truly be open to be the instrument of the Supreme Lord if one gives up material activity. Therefore, first one must give up sense gratification. First one must give up the desire to enjoy the material energy. One must give all aspects of material affection and hate, all hankering and lamenting, or all symptoms of karma and jnana. One must give up all desires to enjoy the material energy. One must also give up all desires to escape in this material energy. So Lord Brahma, he took birth, or appeared rather, from the Supreme Lord. Therefore Lord Brahma is known as Aja, the one who did not take birth. At a later stage, when Lord Brahma offers prayers to Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, after he has stolen the calves and cowherd boys, then Lord Brahma comes to his senses and he realizes he made a huge mistake. And he prays to the Supreme Lord, you are both my father and mother. I've taken birth from you. So Lord Brahma has that position. He was the first living being in the entire universe. Besides him, there was no other living being. And we understand that Lord Brahma was not, at that point, a 100% pure devotee of the Lord. Of course, we have heard how Lord Brahma was the topmost pious living entity. He was the most pious living entity in the entire universe. And therefore, he was granted the greatest facility. And Lord Brahma, at the peak of his piety, had surrendered, had searched out the absolute truth he could not find. He had gone down the stem, and all he saw at the bottom of the stem was just endless water and darkness. Later, we learned that that water was a drop of the Garbha ocean that was still there in the navel of the Lord. So to Lord Brahma, that looked like a huge vast ocean of which he could not see the limits. So Lord Brahma, interesting, when he tried to get closer to the Supreme Lord, he did actually get closer by his endeavors, but he was not able to perceive it. He was not able to perceive. Only through the mercy of the Supreme Lord, when he turned to the Lord in surrender, when he looked for shelter, at that point, the Supreme Lord began to instruct him. So this point of looking for shelter of the Supreme Lord is very essential for every living being. Because the living being is by nature Asrita. The Supreme Lord is described as Asraya, the ultimate shelter, and the living being is described as Asrita, which means shelter seeking. We are always requiring shelter. There is no question of being independent and being able to deal with anything independent. Not possible. People cross their fingers, I hope luck is on my side, horses, hoofs, and what not. Right? Somehow or other, we hope that there is luck, a little prayer, some chilies hanging off the mirror with some lemons in the car, or pumpkin at the outside of the house with ugly faces on it, or a quick cross as we are about to cross some difficult situation. People are praying, people are looking for shelter. At least, do I have money in my pocket? Alright, I have money, so no problem. Anything can happen, I've got a credit card. Right? It's okay. Shelter I have. Yes, I have insurance also, shelter. Yes, even if the worst happens, I have a health insurance. No problem. Everything taken care of. Everything there. Shelter, shelter, shelter. Constant shelter. My house, a very nice house. Shelter, shelter, shelter. Everywhere shelter. Every step of the way. It is said that one who has the shoes of satisfaction on his feet does not experience the sharp thorns and stones on the path of life. So even there, we need shelter. We need shelter. Shelter, in spiritual life, constantly we require shelter. That is the mood of the devotee. So Lord Brahma realized that. He realized that I'm not going to make it by my own power. And therefore Lord Brahma surrendered. That spirit he maintained. It was not easy to maintain, because, after all, Lord Brahma is the most prominent personality in the entire universe. And prominence is a big problem. Also for us, in our spiritual life, with time, prominence comes. With time, seniority comes. With time, all the attributes start to come. Garlands appear. The size of the cushion increases day by day. The different types of recognition are there. And how to deal with that? Not easy. Not easy. And yet it is also part of Vaishnava culture to accept. It is sometimes one's duty to accept, sometimes one's duty to refuse such honorifics that are being offered. So, complex, danger zone is always there. Because pride, false pride, is very strong. And immediately we once again fall in the trap where we want to be what we are not. The biggest problem is when we want to be something that we are not. That is very strong in us, that we want to be more than we are. We have to just simply accept our position, whatever we are. We all have a position, and we should not act beyond that position. We have, so the Vaishnava community is based on these principles, the principles of Sadhana-achara. And the essence of Sadhana-achara is simply that one should act according to one's position, whatever that position may be, position of juniority, seniority, one must act accordingly, or below, but never above. As soon as one acts above, one is below, one is fallen. Immediately, one is forgetting the Supreme Lord, one becomes covered. So, Lord Rama took shelter of the Supreme Lord, who revealed himself from within.
Lord Brahma, we know, he has the ability to communicate quite directly with the Supreme Lord. We know at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna, prior to that appearance, it is described how Lord Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk along with the demigods, and that communication took place through some telepathic type of experience. Lord Brahma heard actually the instructions of the Supreme Lord. He saw him from a distance like that, and he was able to communicate directly. And he was the one who heard. The demigods did not hear, but Lord Brahma heard. He understood. So in this way, Lord Brahma's potency is very great. He is highly empowered. Purity and empowerment are not necessarily the same. A pure devotee is one who fully takes shelter of Krishna. A pure devotee is one who fully dedicates everything to the service of Krishna to the best of his ability. Then additional, there's empowerment. Empowerment meaning that the Supreme Lord will decide what role a devotee will play. Whether he will be Hanuman or the spider. That is up to the Lord. But both were pure devotees. So, in this way, empowerment is depending on the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma is so much empowered that one can virtually not understand how much empowered Lord Brahma is, what he can do, what he cannot do. Lord Brahma, after all, is the creator of the entire universe, everything that's going on there. It is said that initially the ingredients of the material creation are situated within the world of the lotus on which Lord Brahma was seated, and then he placed everything in position, and he subsequently put all the living beings where they belonged in their different bodies, and he created different influences, influence of nescience. He arranged for the process, for the caretakers of knowledge, gaining processes, the four kumaras to appear. So he did so many things. His powers are very, very great. Therefore, here it is said that Brahma prayed for the mercy of the Lord as far as his mind and words would permit him. Thus having prayed, he became silent, as if tired from his activities of penance, knowledge, and mental concentration. So, it is very interesting because, first of all, it said he stopped. As if he was tired. Can Lord Brahma be tired? Is Lord Brahma subjected to these same limitations that we are subjected to? I'm tired right now from the Guru Puja Kirtan, telling the truth. It is like that. We get tired so quickly from so many things. But Lord Brahma is so much empowered, it is hard to say if he was really tired, if Lord Brahma actually gets tired. Like, for example, it is said that the demigods, they are always fresh. Their bodies are always fresh, they are always full of energy, their feet are never touching the ground, their bodies are never perspiring, and another symptom of fatigue, perspiration, and then foam comes on the mouth, fena, that is material existence. So the demigods are not subjected to such restrictions. So it is not clear if Lord Brahma was tired or not, because Lord Brahma is so powerful. But one thing is clear, that even Lord Brahma, at one point, he came to a point where his energy ran out. Because no one has unlimited energy, except for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even Lord Brahma is ultimately
running out, running. Therefore, in his prayers also, at one point, he became silent. Unlike Anantadev, Lord Balaram, who just with unlimited hoots just never stops
glorifying the Supreme Word. But at one point, Lord Rama stopped.
One option is that it was samadhi, tapo vija samadhi vi, that he was entered into samadhi. It is a fact that sometimes the devotees, in glorifying the Supreme Lord, just get fixed on one point. Just, it is described that Lord Chaitanya became deeply absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord, and then the devotees started to sing one line of a bhajan, and they continued the same line on the same melody for 9 hours. And Mahaprabhu just for 9 hours was in the same bhav, same consciousness, completely in samadhi, completely absorbed in experiencing that emotion for 9 hours. And the devotees understood how Mahaprabhu was absorbed. So in samadhi it may also occur that a devotee just becomes completely fixed in one point in meditation on the Supreme Lord and just stops there and doesn't go and just focuses on that. But still, it is mentioned in the Bhakti Vasamrita Sindhu that devotional service is always active. So even samadhi is always active. Devotional service is always active. In the sense it is said, whether it is in Chesta Rupa or in Bhava Rupa. In Chesta Rupa means that we are active in endeavoring to become pure. We are, in Bhava Rupa, we are absorbed. We are totally absorbed in our relationship as a servant of the Lord. Totally and constantly experiencing the pleasure, the presence of the Lord, and the pleasure of the presence of the Lord. But even then, one is focused on unlimited desires of the Supreme Lord. So even in samadhi, one remains active. So Lord Rama, he seemed to have exhausted himself from his penance, from his deep meditation and mental concentration. It is a fact that anyone can exhaust himself in meditating on the Supreme Lord, because there is no limit to the qualities of the Supreme Lord, the unlimited Supreme Lord. One can meditate on Him, and there is no end to this meditation. But surely, when a devotee exhausts himself in the service of the Lord, then that is very pleasing. Just as Mother Yasoda, who chased Krishna, who had broken the pot, and who chased him with a stick, and finally, she became exhausted of chasing him and trying to catch him and using every piece of rope that she could find in Vrindavan to tie him up, and it remained 2 fingers short. And only when she came to the point of exhaustion, of having given everything to the last drop, then the Lord revealed His mercy. So it is a fact that the devotee gives everything in service to the Supreme Lord, goes to his limits. It is at this point that the Lord becomes purchased by the limits of the Lord. Draupadi was praying for protection of the Supreme Lord, but she was still holding on with 2 hands to her sari at the same time. Nothing happens. She was praying for the protection, but it didn't come. It only came after she finally threw her 2 arms in the air and called Hey Govinda. When she finally realized, I have no other shelter. My only shelter is Krishna. I cannot rely on anything else. It is not so easy. We are being tested, and we see that we don't have it, this complete sense of taking shelter. One year, I was asked to drive a bus from Kathmandu, Nepal, to Europe, through the Middle East, with a few other devotees. So, I was adventurous, so I went for it. And it was just as we left, we heard the news that there was a revolution in Iran, and that Khomeini had thrown out the Shah and so on. Anyway, we were already on the way. We came to the border of Iran, and we looked, shall we go, shall we not go? It's like, come on, you know, Krishna will protect us. Yes, it's okay, you know. We're doing this in devotional service. So we went into Iran. Everything was okay. Until we came to about 80 kilometers before Tehran, which is sort of central Iran. And there, next to the highway, there was a man looking like Fidel Castro. He had a beard and a cap and a machine gun also. And he stood there and he waved at our bus. Right? So he was not an ordinary hitchhiker. So we decided to stop and pick him up. As soon as he came on the bus, he pointed the machine gun at us and said, "We're going to the revolutionary headquarters." We said, "Yes, sir." Then, as we were driving, we came there after a little while, and there was a reception party for us. Many mullahs with black kaftans and turbans were raising their arms in ecstasy to see us arriving. And we were a little shy, so did not immediately want to get down from the bus, but Fido sort of convinced us that it was a good idea. So we stepped down, and the people opened up and made a passageway for us. And as we walked through, some people hit us with their fists on our back. So we saw these army barracks, so we ran for shelter, and we ran through a gate, and we came into a courtyard. And as we came into this courtyard, there were soldiers with machine guns, and they told us, "Line up on the wall." And we stood on the wall with the machine guns aimed at us. And so I stood there. Chanting a very high speech. At the same time, I was not taking full shelter of the Holy Name. I caught myself that I was very slowly but surely moving behind the body of my neighbor. What can I say? At that point, I wasn't so much depending just on Krishna. I was also having some material plan to escape, just in case they shoot, and you know, if I survive, I act dead, and this, I'll escape from the morgue. The whole thing, right? Which of course was a ridiculous idea. And I just wasted, actually the opportunity, right, of taking real shelter of Krishna, which I should have done. So like that, we will be tested again and again, again and again. That was not the end of that trip. But after 4 hours, there were some karmis with us also, and there was a German kshatriya. His name was Wolf. And he was very tough. And we stood in the line. And at one point, this Wolf, he ran out of the line after 4 hours, and he kicked a football. I thought the soldiers were going to kill us at that point. But they got very confused, and they started screaming, and officers came running out of officers. And in the end, they just said, "Okay, let them go." I don't know how he did it, but he saved us. So we got out of there. Story continues, but not today. Just an example of how we get caught and how it's not so easy to take shelter of Krishna. So somehow or other, again and again, we fail. We fail to fully take shelter of Krishna. And again, Krishna arranges new situations in our life, where again, we are forced. And gradually, everything gets taken away. Everything. Until there's nothing left. There was a movie, and... Flock is a little fast. There was a movie, and I'll just tell that, and then I'll ask a question. There was a movie, and this movie was showing two people, a Hollywood style, coming home from a party. The man wearing a tuxedo, broad shoulder, and everything, looking gorgeous and athletic. The lady, a blonde, you know, a little bit mature, but still gorgeous looking, blonde, and all the bright measurements in the right place. They came home, and they kicked their shoes off, and it turned out he had false plateaus in his shoes. He immediately became shorter. Then they pulled off their wigs. He was bald. She had miserable strands of hair. She pulled off the false eyelashes as he took off the jacket with the false shoulder fillings. And as he let the belly strap go, she let the air out of the balloons. And then finally, at the very end, you see these two old people sitting in bed, and next on the tables, next to their bed, their teeth are smiling around. This is a good movie. I saw it a long ago. I don't know, maybe 35 years ago, but I'll never forget it. That was very good. And this is the situation that gradually everything gets taken away. Everything gets taken away, and still we are not taking shelter of Krishna. Still we are not taking shelter of Krishna. And Krishna is just, okay, takes away a little more, and still we don't take shelter. Still we take shelter of something else. So, but Lord Brahma actually a pure devotee of the Lord, to perfect shelter of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he became the perfect instrument. This is our great challenge to understand. We have no other shelter than Krishna. It's still within 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Yes.
Was that the Liquid Beauty movie?
No, it's not the Liquid Beauty movie, but I guess it was a movie that was similar to the Liquid Beauty. Liquid Beauty showed how someone took purgatives and then lost the beauty, so that the beauty is temporary. This particular movie showed the influence of time and how we are trying to masquerade and hide it. And therefore, that time is a mechanism by which Krishna reduces us and takes away all our powers until finally we are forced to go on our knees. If you didn't bow down, finally the nose goes to the ground. In this way, in old age, we are forced to finally bow down to Krishna. And if you still don't want to bow down, then you have to bow down to death. Mritya or Sita. Yes?
Yeah.
And he was the instrument. I explained it in the lecture, so I'll repeat it. I said that he was the instrument. Krishna was working through him, and then as such, as the literary incarnation, he was writing. Now, what does it mean, literary incarnation? Does it mean he was Krishna himself? No, Vyasadeva was not Krishna, although he was an incarnation. How is this? He was known as a Shakti Avesh avatar. He was a jiva, a living entity, who was specially empowered. And the Supreme Lord manifested completely through him. So sometimes a living being becomes so much empowered as an instrument of the Supreme Lord, then he's called avatar. He's called Shakti Avesh avatar. But such a Shakti Avesh avatar is not the same as the direct incarnation of Vishnu himself, who appears in this world with four arms and so on. So in that way, although Vyasadeva counts as an avatar, he is at the same time not in the Vishnu Tattva category, the four-armed form of Lord Vishnu. He's in the form of a specially empowered Jiva, who becomes the perfect instrument of the Lord. Yes?
What we should do today from complete chandra?
What
we should do today from complete
chandra? Take shelter of Krishna's devotee. Sattva vritti, by following in the footsteps of the devotee, step by step, we can learn to take shelter of Krishna. Because the devotee, the Supreme Lord has revealed a process, and that process must be followed under the direction of the pure devotee. Then by serving the pure devotees, then we can become.
You're next. Kora is first. Yes.
Maharaj, you were saying that Mahaprabhu focused on one line.
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
It was a line from what, and why were you using it?
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't remember the line right now. If I would, I would tell you. I look have to look it up since you're telling Bhagavad. The point was that that one can be in samadhi fixed on one point for a long time, but then one goes on also, because even samadhi is active. Yes, the relationship with the Lord is eternally active. Bhava Rupa is described as also eternally active. That was the point. So, Lord, in this way, even the pure devotee can never come to the limit of Krishna's unlimited nature. Point in relation to Lord Brahma, who maybe became exhausted, maybe, from endlessly meditating on the Supreme Lord. Maybe.
I'm going to ask you a question. One is a little bit related to this question. It's very nice the way you explained that we can understand the legal Brahma with meditation. My question is that. Is there any specific reason why this has not been made very clear as to why Lord Brahma was silent? Or did he understand that yes, he was in meditation?
I can't say. When we go so deep into trying to guess the meaning of the verse, then maybe we go beyond our adhikar. Because if you don't have direct communication with Krishna on the meaning of the verse, then what is the point of trying to look for more and more meanings in the verse? So I cannot do that. I went quite far. That's why I didn't fix a conclusion on why Lord Brahma was tired, because I don't feel I have the adhika to know. I don't know. How can I know? And I have not read a commentary of Acharya, who's more qualified to know the dictates of Krishna.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry if this is mundane and please forgive me, but I was wondering, Prabhupada, such a pure devotee, is there any reason why he wouldn't have clarified it?
Many of the acharyas are clarifying different things at different points in time according to their own insights. Again, I'm also not qualified to understand what moves Srila Prabhupada. He's also beyond. Krishna is beyond me, Srila Prabhupada also. So your questions are not mundane, but your questions are probing beyond my adhikara.
My second question. When you were explaining that what can only truly be an instrument of Krishna if one gives up such gratification and uses quite a few things, could you kindly elaborate a little bit more on what does it really mean to give up the desire to escape from material energy?
Hankering and lamenting, escaping the material energy. So we are in this world constantly facing so many difficulties. A lot of our energy is not spent to try and enjoy the material energy. A lot of our energy is spent in trying to avoid the different situations in the material energy. we are not just driven by the desire to enjoy, we are constantly driven by fear. Vayam dvitiya vivesita syat. When the living entity turns away from Krishna, he is driven by fear. So only when we take shelter of Krishna, then we are fearless, and only then can we become free from the tendency towards escaping suffering. Shall we end it over soon?
You mentioned Draupadi, and that
Krishna will
protect his devotees again and again.
Yeah, Krishna will protect his devotees again and again. Because Krishna protects every devotee. Krishna protects every living being. Even as a super soul, he goes along with every living being. So he protects every living being in one sense. But his devotee, he personally protects. Krishna personally makes arrangements. But his devotee will completely take shelter of him. Krishna will fully, personally take charge of everything. Other devotees who are not fully surrendered to Krishna, sometimes Krishna allows the material energy to do its work, and Krishna is watching it. He's behind it, he's watching it, but he doesn't interfere. But with his fully surrendered pure devotee, Krishna just fully takes over every situation. He orchestrates it all himself. I don't know how long I should go on. You just go on with these classes, is that what you do? Well, that's my procedure to put in mind. He always does that. You have a what? Basic question.
But he
said always
to me that I am fortunate to believe in God and I am fortunate to believe in reincarnation.
That's true. Father is not the devotee that he's saying. She's fortunate to believe in God, to believe in reincarnation. That makes your father also a devotee because he's appreciating a devotee. So one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Your father's a devotee. Well, he is. He's glorifying you. So, he's glorifying you. Well, he may be a little bit. Yeah, how can we live this one? You know, if I have to remember all day long my past life, then I couldn't do this one. I couldn't get into this one. I would just be thinking of who I was in the last life. So, we forget. We get a clean chance. Get another chance to start with fresh enthusiasm. We say to your father, you are now an old man. You have lost your youthly enthusiasm. You are old. The young man, they had a plan. They were going to build a huge palace. Some elderly men came together and discussed it and had a meeting and finally called the youngsters and said, it is a very good idea that you have, but we have made a few adjustments. Let's make a small little shed. You know, that's the nature of the elder man. Too much trouble, no more endeavor. But when you're young, so fresh, once again, so you get another chance to be fresh. Forget this life. Be young again. Lucky man. But next time as a devotee, next time don't waste your energy. Do it right. You tell them that. Do it right. Okay, the ultimate. Yes. Okay, I don't understand one word.
The speaker sometimes uses his inner cloth, and those who won't go with them, they take more questions.
Yeah, I know that, but I sort of don't want to take so many questions. You are the master. Or that is coming.
Many performing our service.
What?
Many performing our service. Sometimes things are in our ability, and sometimes not. So when we come to the end of our ability, When it's like mental, we spirit to Krishna and we pray for help.
We quickly send off an email, or we surf the internet to see if there's an answer there. We can always ask Google. Right? So I don't know if it naturally comes Krishna. Not so easy. It's easier said than done. Many times we turn to Google instead of Krishna. Thank you very much.